and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Going to get to some of the trending news of the day, but first wanted to let you know some sad news to report. World-renowned Hollywood choreographer David Winters, who is a friend of our show, has been on a few times. He passed away yesterday and just had some ailments. He was an original in West Side Story. The Broadway show and the movie, one of like only two people who got that recognition and that honor. And here he is in recent years. He's just spent 50 plus years having such an impact on American entertainment. And so we're going to take a little bit of a look back coming up, and we send our love and prayers to his family and close friends. David Winters passing away. Also ahead, we are going to talk about building lasting relationships and dealing with being single, all of these things, and thriving while doing so. This is with Clarence Schuler. He's going to come in and talk to us about his, he's got a relationship series and some good books. He's going to tell us all about it. We also have the political headlines coming up with Senator Ted Harvey. He is the head of the Committee to Defend the President, one of the, if not the largest pro-Trump PACs in America. Trending in the news, Mexico is reportedly doing some work rounding up migrants bound for the U.S. Seems another caravan of 10 to 20,000 strong, 10 to 20,000, is on the way. They are calling it the mother of all caravans heading for the U.S. Mexico did intervene this week on a smaller caravan, took some of the people in that away in buses, said they got about 350 of them. President Trump, though, saying today, just today on Twitter again, that Mexico is not doing enough, and neither is Congress. President Trump and Border Patrol have been warning that illegal aliens jumping the border, that we are at just a crisis level and have been for some time. 100,000 apprehended in the month of March alone. President Trump also says Democrats should get back to work and stop fixating on, well, the Mueller probe and his finances. He is blasting them for investigating his finances and said that he will fight any and all subpoenas. He spoke to reporters before leaving with Melania from the White House to a trip to Atlanta today.
Well, the subpoena is ridiculous. I have been the most transparent president and administration in the history of our country by far. We just went through the Mueller witch hunt, where you had really 18 angry Democrats that hate President Trump. They hate him with a passion. They were contributors in many cases to Hillary Clinton. Hate him with a passion. How they picked this panel, I don't know. And they came up with no collusion, and they actually also came up with no obstruction. But our attorney general ruled, based on the information, there was no obstruction. So you have no collusion, no obstruction. Now we're finished with it. And I thought after 2 years, we'd be finished with it. No, now the House goes and starts subpoenaing. They want to know every deal I've ever done. Now Mueller, I assume, for $35 million, checked my taxes, checked my financials, which are great, by the way. You know they're great. All you have to do is go look at the records. They're all over the place. But they checked my financials and they checked my taxes, I assume. It was the most thorough investigation probably in the history of our country. I think I read where they interviewed 500 people. I say it's enough. Get back to infrastructure, get back to cutting taxes, get back to lowering drug prices. That's what really, that's what we should be doing. Well, we're fighting all the subpoenas. Look, these aren't like impartial people. The Democrats are trying to win 2020. They're not going to win with the people that I see, and they're not going to win against me. The only way they can maybe luck out, and I don't think that's going to happen, it might make it even the opposite. That's what a lot of people are saying. The only way they can luck out is by constantly going after me on nonsense. But they should be really focused on legislation, not the things that have been, this has been litigated, just so you understand. This has been litigated for the last 2 years.
Give me your attention, baby. I gotta tell you a little something about yourself.
ahead, we'll talk about the political headlines of the day here on America Trends with Senator Ted Harvey, with the Committee to Defend the President. This is his PAC that it started as an anti-Hillary PAC. And then it just sort of morphed once Trump got elected because they thought he needed someone to have his back. So he's going to be on talking about the border crisis and the Democrats who are running and who's coming up and people who want to challenge President Trump on the Republican side. So all this is ahead. Also, the trend of politicians and business owners writing books. Our friend Melanie Johnson, who has Elite Online Publishing, she's going to talk about how it helps. It really behooves their campaign and businesses. All this synergistic stuff that can get their message out there. And she can even help you publish your book. This is someone who helps you in the process, walks you along. We'll hear all about it with Melanie just ahead. And we are so glad also to have a really great author on right now. His name is Clarence Schuler. He is the president and CEO of BLR Building Lasting Relationships, found at ClarenceSchuler.com. He's got all kinds of, like, 8 books, all these bestsellers, and he talks about a few things. Choosing greatness, how to be single, free to be me, keeping your wife your best friend, winning the race to unity, some various and great themes. So, Clarence, welcome to America Trends. Thank you for coming on.
Amy, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be with you.
We're excited to have you, too, and hope this is just the first of many. So tell me how you got started writing and about your business in total, but there must have been something that impacted you where you said, this is what I want to do with my life.
Well, a guy named Dr. Gary Chapman, a best-selling author, it's kind of been a father figure to me. And once he asked me to write a couple articles about women, if it's your work or not work. And so I wrote this article, and the women at where he was at just really loved it. Some felt they should not work, and some felt they should. So they felt that some were encouraged. And then we wrote another article about our relationship, dealing with diversity. And a big-time author took the piece that I wrote and put it in his book. And then one thing led to another. I started writing. I began to get published in magazines and then wrote my first book. And through the grace of God, it was published. So I've been writing ever since.
Praise God for that. That has to be so rewarding to do. I mean, you have to love it to write and really get that message out and spend so much time. I mean, birthing one book is hard enough, let alone 8. And I know we're going to talk about the foundation for successful relationships with you, but yes, we can sort of pivot back and forth between anything that comes up. I know that you have, when you talk about choosing greatness, and this is from which book?
It's from the book called Choose Greatness.
Well, there you go, Choose Greatness.
11 wise decisions that brave young men make. So we're trying to help young guys to really figure out how to have a great life. And so we're trying to teach them how to make good decisions now so they have better options later.
That's such a great theme for right now. And I also love what you said before about women, should they work or not. You know, for a certain generation, people in the 70s were raised to say, get out there, women's lib, work, you can have it all. But then later, people started thinking, you know, I don't want it all. I might want to stay home with my kid, but I'm sort of being judged for that. And so just to have the flexibility and have someone say, it's okay, you really can do what you want and have your choices. And then this with young boys and men, too, like having good mentors like you did. And what are some of the biggest issues you find boys are facing today that you really want to address?
Well, one is having a good dad or good parents, trying to get the wisdom from their parents. You know, it's funny. They say about teenagers that for their parents, the older teenagers get, the wiser parents become.
Right.
And because young boys tend to live in the now, they don't think long-term consequences. But the reality of it is their parents, or if they're a single parent, have lived life. And so we try and teach the young man that there's some wisdom here in getting some experience from what their parents have lived or their parent has lived, which will help you make some decisions. So we think it's important. And we even encourage single moms, if there's not a man around, to possibly find a man who doesn't have access to her, but might be a good fit for her son. And unfortunately, today, we even tell them how important it is to have a background check. But because young men need to learn from men how to become a man. And when they learn how to do that, they learn responsibility, but they also learn how to respect women, which is a big issue today. So that's why those are two of the big reasons we encourage young men to have, you know, trust their parents or a trusted adult substitute.
Talking to Dr. Clarence Schiller this hour about all this. Doctor, also, you do mention the focus on respecting girls and women. It's so important and urgent. And I know we've got the hashtag MeToo movement and all these things, but these are taught in church and in the Bible. Not everyone goes to church and has the influence of God and pastors and people like that. And sometimes it's just a game, you know, go out and get your chicks, you know, live life to the fullest, these sorts of things. But to really take it seriously, because a girl's heart, just like a boy's heart, it's a very fragile thing, and we need to take care of each other. And, you know, relationships aren't a joke, and I just love that you're pinpointing that.
Well, we want to encourage guys to respect women. Because the reality of it is, all guys had a mother, you know, one way or another, and there are women in their lives that are important. And so we're telling guys, you know, as you meet girls, as you learn to develop friendships, which are really foundation for great relationships, just treat them as though you'd like somebody to treat your sister, your mother, your grandmother, and that makes all the difference in the world. And as they understand that, then they say, okay, I didn't realize that. So we're just trying to teach them things they may not have learned at home or things like that.
Stuff that you do, the things you see in the Hollywood movies and in popular culture, they just don't really jive with all that. And you can't ignore it, boys.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is that when they learn how to treat a woman, because men and women wired differently, then they can really benefit from those relationships as well as the girl does too. And it's just, it's that mutual respect. And it's really sometimes counterculture, learn to serve as opposed to try and take, learn how to give.
It's fulfilling for anyone. Just about 30 seconds, but I wanted to get to another one of your book points. And you talked about people being single. And, you know, that can be a very painful time. But you talk about getting to know yourself and being strong and being single, and you'll be stronger for when you find the right mate.
Well, a lot of times people feel they have to be in a relationship. They're not in some kind of relationship. They think something's wrong with them. And when they feel that way, they put pressure on the next person they meet because they become needy. And when they become needy, they can become dysfunctional. And when they become dysfunctional, they can become destructive. And so it kind of became the beginning of the end for a relationship.
Yeah. And it goes back to the Bible again, Doctor, where it's like you've got to focus on, you know, Jesus, the Lord, the things that matter, not put all these burdens on the people around you, right?
Exactly.
All right, Doc, Building Lasting Relationships, and you can find him at ClarenceSchuler.com. We really hope to see you back soon. Thank you so much. Welcome back to America Trends. You are watching the U2 America TV network and or listening on Biz Talk Radio. So glad you are with us. Hey, we always talk about the trending political headlines and some of the people running and what the campaigns are like. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. But on that note, you can get to know the people running for office better than ever because so many of them are writing articles online and even writing books to really get their messages and their stories across. And our next guest is someone who helps them do that very thing, and she can help business leaders and you, anyone really. It's Melanie Johnson. She is with Elite Online Publishing. She's the CEO and co-owner. And I remember because she was first runner-up to Miss America. She was Miss Michigan a few years back. And Melanie, it's nice to see you back here on America Trends again. Hi.
Thanks, Amy, for having me. And I just love that music. It just gets me pumped when I hear the music getting going up for your show.
I know. Curtis does choose good music back there. Thank you, Curtis.
Yeah.
No pressure, Curtis, for the next thing, right? Hey, Melanie, what year was it that you went to Miss America?
Oh, man, do we really have to tell the year? So I Miss Michigan back in 1987, towards the later part. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that just had to be such a neat experience. And it really just sets a good foundation for any. Once you achieve something like that, being Miss Michigan, and you were first runner-up, right?
Yeah, well, it took me three tries to get there.
Sure.
So, you know, it wasn't an easy road. Some girls are lucky and they get there the first time. I didn't know what the heck I was doing the first time. And real quick thing I had, you know, the first time I didn't know what I was doing. The second time I prayed that I would do my absolute best because I thought if I did, I would win. And then I was third runner up at Miss Michigan. And then finally, the third time I prayed that I would be Miss Michigan. And finally, by hook or crook, I got there. So it was, you know, you got to be careful what you pray for. Ask for exactly what you want.
Kehlani Ray Rafko is a friend of mine. She was Miss Michigan around that time and then became Miss America.
So that's how the story, she was the one I was first runner up to. So the third time I went, I was actually first runner up to Kehlani, and then Kehlani went on to win. So then I became Miss Michigan and I was first runner up to her.
Now, just a little girl talk for you all, Melanie and me, but we'll get back to you now, right? Hey, but now you're using all the things you learned and that determination and that you really can build on anything. You built this corporation. Let's talk about what you do and then we'll get to why it really behooves politicians and business people to get a book out there. You may think you won't have time, but Melanie can help you.
Yeah, so what I do is a couple things. We are an alternative to traditional publishing. We self-publish your book for you, market it, promote it, and all of our authors become number one bestsellers. That's what we're really good at.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so those people that say they don't have time, what we do is do a VIP day with them. We spend a day, kind of a day and a half almost with them, and craft the whole book. We record and interview them, just like we're talking here, and then we transcribe it and have the ghostwriter come in and help them and have meetings with them to craft the book. So they're not spending years to write their book or many months. It's getting done in 30 to 60 days. You're getting all your content done, which is fabulous. So we started offering that, and it really has taken off for busy entrepreneurs, politicians, people wanting to run for office. It's just a great way to get the content out there. And our strengths are really the marketing and teaching you how to market your book. So many traditional publishers, it's like, hey, we got your book out there. Now, what are you going to do to market it? So we really give you that kick in the pants, get you rebranded with all your social media as an author, teach you what it takes to use your book for your special business. Like, you know, a politician, someone running for Congress has different goals than someone who's trying to have a speaking career or who's trying to sell a product. So we want to create that special marketing plan just for that person of how to leverage your book. I mean, think of it as really an advertising tool at the end of the day. I mean, I used to own TV stations. And we sold ads all the time, and we bought advertising to promote our station. So it's no different than that. I think people don't look at it as really a tool. It's like, okay, I've got this book, but you can really use it for your business. It's an amazing return on investment as an advertising tool.
Yeah, and though they come in and have a ghostwriter, you're recording all them. It really is their thoughts. It really is their story.
Exactly. It's their voice. So, so many people are easier at talking than they are at writing. So many times I know myself, I'll sit there and I'll start to write and then I get stuck. It's like, well, no, I don't want it like this. I'm going to go back again. And you're rewriting that same paragraph like four times. Versus if you go in and you're speaking and having that conversation and having your genuine voice and you're being authentic, you're capturing that on, we like to capture it on video and audio and then have it transcribed. And it's so much easier after the ghostwriter goes in and makes sense of it all and cleans it all up for you to just go in and edit a little bit or add a few other stories. It makes it so much easier and efficient.
And what you said before also, you really do help people hone in on their branding. What is your goal before they even start writing the book, which is a huge thing?
Oh my gosh. And you know, one thing that people don't think about, they ask us, well, I don't need to come to you until my book is finished, right? I want to hand it all over to you, all edited and finished. And I say, please come to us before then while you're working on the content for two reasons. One, it's much more time efficient. While you're finishing the book, we can start crafting your cover and getting your social media set up and starting to rebrand you. So we're saving time. All that's happening at the same time while you're finished writing and editing. And the second most important reason is really we're going to collaborate with you on things that should be in that book for marketing purposes. So one of our ninja hacks that we do is we want to make sure that you have links in your book that send them and give them extra content, that give you want to send them to YouTube videos, you want to send them to your website, you want to send them to places where they can get more content or opt into something that you're going to give them, maybe a product or extra services. So you want to include all those things strategically in your book. We've got a client working with us now. He's telling his life story. He's getting ready to run for political office. And he wants to go, he's going to fly back to Pakistan and take videos of where he grew up and show that. So he's talking about his life when he grew up, but then he's actually going and going to show videos. So you have that visual that people can click on, just as a short example. So in the ebook, you can click right in the hyperlink, but in the paperback, you can't. So what we do is we put QR codes there in the back of the chapter to connect to all those things. So these are just some small strategies that we have that help you market your book and use it on a whole nother level besides telling your story.
Amazing times we live in. Talking to Melanie Johnson of Elite Online Publishing. And I know, well, what you said about that, gentlemen, whether you're a politician or a businessman, businesswoman, you can leave a legacy by putting together a book, and why not? And especially if it's gonna, there's a good return on investment, or, you know, maybe it's worth it to take out some financing to leave this, you know, a message for, oh, I don't know, your family or people that you want to mentor in whatever line of business you are in.
And you know what you were saying, you know, maybe take out a loan. We have a better suggestion even. Why not get sponsorship? You may have people that you're incorporated with, people that you do business with, people that are non-competing businesses but complement, that want your same demographic, that you can include them to book signings. You can include them in different things inside the book. You can offer them different levels of sponsorship. You could have them on your banners. You know, I've got my banner back here. So there's a whole level that you could add sponsors or people looking for opportunities for your demographic. So we've had authors do that as well, which is really smart. Not only does it bring revenue into you to help finance your book, but then you're using their platform and those people as well, because they're going to promote your book because they're sponsoring you. So all of a sudden now you've tapped into another niche, another good ninja strategy that we have.
See, this is why they need you for stuff like that. And besides all the things that you bring, last question, I just want to know, when people come to you, is there an average, or what's the longest where they've said, I've been trying to write my own book for blank years, and then you, in three easy steps, help them get it done?
Oh my gosh, yeah, we've had people, I've been thinking about this, I've been working on it, and then they come to us and it's like light bulbs go off and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I got it done this fast. And My favorite thing is that when we make someone a bestseller, I mean, everyone has the joys from their job, but I just love what we do, because when we get done, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I can't believe I'm a best-selling author. It's the best feeling as a business owner to be able to bring such joy. The rest of my family's in the insurance business, and I guarantee you no one ever just...
Yes, so rewarding. Melanie Johnson, EliteOnlinePublishing.com. Thanks so much. The war on Christians, terrorism, the mother of all caravans, and the aftermath of the Mueller report. All just some of the trending political headlines of the day, the week, the year. We are glad to welcome back Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President. He's a former state senator from Colorado and has done a lot of work in public service. And welcome back, Senator Ted. This started as an anti-Hillary PAC. This story just always is sort of interesting to hear.
Well, the Hillary never seems to leave the political forefront.
How can we miss her if she won't go away?
Exactly. The Stop Hillary PAC may have stopped her from being in the White House, but it hasn't stopped her from being one of the most obnoxious people on the face of the earth. I don't know if you saw yesterday, she came out and said if Trump wasn't president, he would have been convicted for all of the crimes that were laid out in the Mueller report. But I don't think she's read the Mueller report. He was exonerated of all collusion with the Russians, which when I read her quote, it made me want to spit my coffee across the room, because talk about collusion with the Russians. It was Hillary Clinton and her campaign that did everything they could to collude with foreign agents to try to bring down the Trump campaign and the Trump presidency. So. Please, Hillary, just go away. Please stop. That's all I ask.
It is so funny, and it just brings back the memory of during the debates when he and she were running against each other, where she said something about if you're president, and he said, yeah, you'd be in jail.
We can only hope.
It's always a fun to talk back about that. Did you see that she just incidentally about her and Barack Obama, what they posted Monday on Twitter? I saw this trending. People could not stop retweeting it. After those terrorism attacks in Sri Lanka that killed over 300 people on Easter and injured over 500. And Barack Obama and Hillary, you know, sent their condolences. But instead of saying out to the Christian community, they said Easter worshipers. And that really made the antenna go up for so many people that said, is Christians a bad word? Is it so politically incorrect that you can't even support Christians now?
Well, I think it's interesting that they both came out with the exact same terminology,
right,
in both of their texts within hours of each other. I believe there is a concerted effort amongst the left, amongst the globalists that Hillary Clinton and Obama run with, to try to eradicate any mention of Christianity. And this was a horrific terrorist incident. You don't see on the media anybody running with this story to talk about how radical Islamists were actually killing Christians in Sri Lanka. But you saw the media for weeks on end talk about how a guy killed several hundred people in New Zealand. And that is outrageous. That's inappropriate. We should be condemning it. But why is there silence when it comes to Christians that were murdered? Not only is there silence, but they don't call them Christians. They call them Easter worshipers. I don't know anybody who worships Easter. I know people who celebrate the resurrection of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the day we call Easter, but we don't call it Easter worshipers. So I found it interesting that both Obama and Hillary and others in the media use the exact same terminology. Where are they getting their talking points?
We wondered the same thing. Someone butted together their tweets and said, if only there were one word to say instead of Easter worshipers. Oh, there is, it's Christians. It almost makes you wonder, like you said, the mosque attacks in New Zealand that got so much coverage. It almost feels like it's part of white guilt in America, this guilt of, oh, we've treated Muslims so badly, so let's give more attention to when they are targeted, et cetera.
What if we treated Muslims poorly in the United States?
Exactly.
We are not treating Muslims poorly. We are saying we're not going to allow radical Muslims that are coming from predominantly radical Muslim countries to come in here. But we are allowing millions of Muslims from all over the world to come to the United States. We're not putting any restrictions on them. They are actively involved in our communities and being successful in achieving the American dream, just like any other religion that is coming to the United States. We do not treat Muslims poorly. I don't believe it is a white guilt issue. The Muslims in Sri Lanka that were murdered were not white. They were simply Christians.
You mean the Christians
who were killed
right.
The Christians mm-hmm. in Sri Lanka that were murdered were not white. They were just killed because they were Christians, and they were killed by radical Muslims. Mm-hmm. So I want to know what is going on in the minds of Hillary and Obama and all of the other media outlets around the country that continued that quote. And it was weird that they all used the exact same verbiage. It was bizarre.
Strange. I've never heard. I don't know if it's I've even heard it in the lexicon before, you know.
Never. Yeah. Never. Mm.
So there they are, Hillary and Obama. And you're right. You can come here and live the American dream. That's why people want to come here. And guess what? You can even be elected to Congress, and you can even make unfortunate statements about 9/11 where you say something happened and then people got mad at Muslims. So that's just one of the things.
You know, that the effort by the media to try to make these two women, congressmen, to be the victims of oppression in the United States is absolutely crazy. You see that they came from another country. They came here, they were successful, and now they are United States Congress people. What other country in the world would you be able to achieve that other than right here in the United States? That is something to be celebrated, in my opinion, not something to be looked at as victims.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start. We got about 2 minutes before the break, but let's go ahead, and then we're gonna have you back. And there they are, two elected congresswomen who are Muslim. Do you want to get started on the Mueller report and just the breathless media can't let go? Does this really mean there wasn't collusion, et cetera? Now they're focusing on President Trump's finances, and he said today we're going to fight every subpoena, so there.
As well he should.
Yeah.
We should not allow Congress on any reason whatsoever to subpoena U.S. citizens' tax returns just so they can start looking for a crime. There is no crime that they are looking at. We spent 2 years, $25 million investigating whether there was collusion with the Russian government, and there was none. So there is absolutely no justification for Congress to be looking at President Trump's tax returns. They are just doing that as a fishing expedition to try to find a crime. That's not what the Congress should be wasting their time on. That's not what Mueller should be wasting his time on. There was no crime there. There was no obstruction of justice there. There was a president that was fighting for his life against a coup from within his own government, within the intelligence community and the law enforcement community within his government, and he was fighting for his life. I think the fact that the Democrats are continuing to push with this is outrageous. More importantly, I think Mueller's report was outrageous, and I hope the president fights it with everything that he's got.
2 years and how much money, Ted?
$25 million.
Taxpayer money. Just 10 seconds, but is this the biggest load of Democratic opposition research you've ever seen, and we all paid for it?
Well, not that, but not just that, but the 2 years of MSNBC and CNN doing nothing but running on this false narrative for the last 2 years, and that people wonder why Trump's poll ratings are so low.
Mm-hmm. Been ruining lives. Got people that went to jail for other things. Find me the man. I'll show you the crime. Okay, we're going to talk about the border crisis and the mother of all caravans, they say, is heading for the U.S. border as we speak. Back with Senator Ted right after this. Back now on America Trends with Senator Ted Harvey from the Committee to Defend the President. You can go there, thecommitteetodefendthepresident.com, and make a donation if you like what they're doing. Watch their videos, find out more. They've got news there. You can see just what's up every single day from the war room. Trump's latest polls. Senator Ted, anything else on the Mueller report before we move on?
Well, I think it's important for citizens across the country to realize what the Democrats are trying to do here. They spent 2 years working with the intelligence community and law enforcement community to try to frame the president of the United States. And he fought back and stopped that effort, showed that there was no collusion whatsoever. The media ran with that narrative for 2 years nonstop. 90% of their reporting on President Trump was negative reporting. And now that the report has come out to say that there was no collusion, now the Democrats and the media are picking up the goalpost and moving it one more time and saying, yes, but now you have to prove that you didn't collude. And now you have to say that, now you have to show that, like Nixon, who obstructed justice, you have to prove that you didn't obstruct justice. Even though Nixon, there was a crime, and he did obstruct justice to cover up that crime. Trump, there was no crime. The crime was actually by the intelligence community and Hillary Clinton. So when the citizens of the United States are watching what's going on in the media and with the Democrats, where they're trying to frame the president one more time, they need to understand really what is going on. They are trying to destroy this administration and slow down this administration until the 2020 elections so that they can remove him from office that way. And we just need to rally behind him. We need to defend him, and we need to get the entire country to tell the Democrats to cut it off, and we're going to support the president no matter what.
Yeah, they want him to prove a negative, apparently, which isn't supposed to be the way America works. Do you think there is some contingent that wants him to seem like he should be impeached, but they don't actually on the Democratic side want him impeached because then he'll sort of be a martyr for 2020? Does that play into any of this?
Well, I think if you look at the verbiage that the Democrats are using right now, it is, well, we need to continue to look at all of the different things that the Mueller report brought out and do those investigations and bring people in to discuss what happened. Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to spend more taxpayer dollars on this when we've already spent $25 million investigating this and Mueller came up with nothing? Why is it that we have to bring more people forward to continue this investigation? It is nothing other than to slow the president down, slow his agenda down, slow the administration down until they can try to take him out in 2020 in the election. And that's not going to happen. I think that the president is running against a bunch of liberal whack jobs, and he's going to win in a landslide. But he will only win if the American people rise up and defend him against this onslaught of the media and the liberals in Congress trying to take him out.
And part of their game plan is to allow felons to vote, illegals to vote. And hey, let's have more people up from these caravans. Come on in and vote. So they're calling it the mother of all caravans. I've heard from 10K to 20,000 on their way up now. President Trump is saying Mexico's not doing enough, even though apparently, I don't know if they're just sort of doing lip service and were trying to look like they were doing something. Earlier this week, apparently they took a caravan of 3,000 and sort of swarmed in and got 350 and tried to put them on buses back to somewhere. But and President Trump also tweeted this week, we are building the wall. We're building it now. And I know they are because I have people here in San Diego who've worked construction on it. Is he going fast enough, Ted? I know you're going to say yes, but boy, a lot of people who live in these border states.
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
We do need to be building it more. We need to be building it much more quickly. We should have for the last 20 years under both Republican and Democrat administrations. Our federal government has failed us on this issue. And the Republicans in Congress, when it came to a vote to defend the president on his effort to fund this and use the emergency powers that Congress has given him, they voted against him. It's outrageous that both parties are failing the American people in securing our borders and defending the American populace. But the president is doing it. He is doing it as fast as he can. I wish he would do it faster. Mm-hmm. But at least he is actually standing up and saying that he is going to take care of this issue. I find it interesting, if you look at the most recent polls since the Mueller report came out, is that immigration is the number one issue for voters across the board.
Good.
The Mueller report isn't even in the top 10. So here you have the Democrats doing everything they can to push the Mueller report that the American people could care less about. And they're trying to obstruct the president on the number one issue that American people care about, and that's immigration. Mm-hmm. I hope that I think you are starting to see a little kink in the armor there, because there's a lot of Democrats now that are starting to say this is a serious issue down on the border and something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to give the president a victory. God forbid they stand up for the American people, because if they stand up for the American people, that means they're giving the president a victory in a promise that he made to the American people. So, you know, the president can't win. Even when he's right, the Democrats aren't going to help him. And even when the American people could care less about the Mueller report, the Democrats are going to run with that despite what the voters want.
When it comes to illegals coming in here, criminals, terrorists, and then issues like preventing infanticide, Mueller report moves way, way down on the list. Okay, speaking of polls, a new poll shows Bernie Sanders ahead. This was a poll from April 18th. 10 days prior, it showed Joe Biden ahead. Should we be concerned about Bernie Sanders or any other socialist beating President Trump in 2020?
Absolutely not. I think it's interesting that Biden has pushed back his announcement a couple days now.
Right.
And I think the reason why is he's looking at the polls and he's seeing that the president, the reason why he pushed off his announcement in the beginning was to push it off until after the Mueller report to see what the Mueller report came out with. Mm-hmm. And if there was collusion, I guarantee you Biden would be in instantaneously. But now that there's not collusion, I think he is saying, do I really want to get into this? When you see the stock market breaking records, when you see the unemployment at a 50-year low, African-American unemployment low, Hispanic unemployment low, Biden's got to be looking at that and saying, I don't see how this incumbent, and incumbents win 76% of the time, I don't see how we're going to be able to beat this incumbent when the economy is as good as it is. I think he's got to be questioning that. And then from just in the Democrat primary, you've got a bunch of whack job Democrats that are going to be voting in the primary, and a moderate 78-year-old Democrat vice presidential candidate is not going to be one of these socialists that are running. And I don't think he can win the primary.
We'll have to leave it there. Senator Ted, we'll say that the McCain family came out today and said they are going to support Biden in 2020. We expect his announcement, last I heard, was Thursday. Senator Ted, find him at the Committee to Defend the President.com. Thanks so much. some clever pet video there for our YouTube America audience. Want to also thank our BizTalk Radio audience for being here. I'm Amy Fuller. Please check us out on our websites and click on through and friend us on social media. BizTalk Radio, you can find podcasts there from all our past shows. And find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Connect with us and let's all be friends, okay? Hey, finally tonight, we want to remember David Winters, a friend of the show, legendary choreographer, original cast member of West Side Story. Played Baby John. He was in the Broadway musical back in the late 60s and the Hollywood movie. World renowned. He passed away yesterday, had some health ailments over recent years, and just wrote this book, Tough Guys Do Dance, and we've talked to him many times about it on here. You can get the book. He leaves behind such a legacy of dance that shaped entertainment for the past 50 or so years, worked with Ann Margaret, Elvis, Michael Jackson. As we say goodnight, our TV audience will get a look at a scene from a dance performance on Hullabaloo from 1965. David choreographs in numerous shows like this over the decades. And you will see the man himself in the number in just a few seconds as we start the tape. And just enjoy the magic and the talent of the late David Winters.
Hullabaloo's musical director, Peter Mance, has just released a brand new album with special arrangements of some of the music he's played on this show. Well, tonight our choreographer, David Winters, is going to dance to one of those swinging wild arrangements. So, ladies and gentlemen, David Winters dances Peter Mance.